Okay. So we're talking about forgiveness. And so I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 18. And I want to start at verse 21. So then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I say unto you, until seven times, but until 70 times seven." So Peter is like most of us. He wants to limit how much forgiveness he can give. Seven times seems like plenty. And the Lord said, no, 70 times 70. So then, because Peter asked that question, the Lord tells a story. And so we're going to begin. This is the story the Lord told. We begin at verse 22. So Jesus said unto them, "I say unto thee, until 70 times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant, he was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt." So here's a man who owes a lot of money and he doesn't have anything to pay back. And the thing that struck me is he really owed it. It wasn't something that he didn't owe. He really owed it. So he should have paid him, but he didn't have it. So this reminds us of Jesus. We don't have anything either. And we owe him an awful lot. And we cannot pay it. We cannot pay it. So we are in a hopeless situation. And notice he said he was going to sell him. He sold him. And this made me think, there's a scripture that says, we are all sold under sin. This man was helpless, whether he knew it or not. He could not pay the debt. So there's no way he could get out of it. And so his Lord has lots of money. He has everything. The man that owes him has nothing. And so he begs. He begs for mercy. "Just give me some time and I will pay it all." And he was so pitiful that his master said, "Yes, I'll forgive you." So, you know, when we're forgiven or when God forgives us, I want you to notice in verse 27. This is what his Lord did. "The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt." But I want you to notice, it says he loosed him. You know, this man who owed this debt, he wanted to pay it. He couldn't. His Lord knew that. And he had compassion where he was in this terrible situation. And so he forgave him. But notice what it says. He loosed him. You know, when we forgive someone, and they may truly owe us, They may truly be guilty, but when we forgive them, we loose them. We make them feel like they're not in bondage to us anymore, that they don't owe us anything. And on top of that, the one who forgives, he's loose too, because he knows he's done what God wants him to do. And that frees us, and it keeps our hearts soft. If you can't forgive and you won't forgive, then your heart gets hard. And the harder your heart gets, the harder it is to forgive, because we think of ourselves. His Lord felt pity for this man because there was nothing he could do. And so because he cried for mercy, he had compassion and he forgave him. And it said he loosed him and let it go. Now, what does that mean? He doesn't have to pay that debt. So that freed him. You see, when the Lord forgives us, when we're first saved or any time that we need forgiveness, it frees us when he forgives us. And the Lord has compassion on all of us, just like this, the Lord of this man did. And he forgave him. So I also wanted to say, I want to go to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, we know this took place on the cross. And I mean, just think of what a horrible, horrible, horrible sight that cross is. And those people that were watching him die were not sweet in any way. They were malicious and hateful and angry, and they hated him. And what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, they thought they were crucifying him because he was a nasty man. But we know that that wasn't the case. He was setting them free. He was dying for them because he loved them. And he was going to loose them from all their sin. He had compassion on them. And he did that for you and I. We absolutely had nothing to pay the Lord. He forgave us. Therefore, he wants us to forgive others. And we see that in this story. Now, when we forgive someone, we're showing grace. That's really what we're doing. Because I want to take it a step farther. The story here is about money. But most of us, that isn't what we have to forgive for. Most of us have been hurt. Where our heart, someone has hurt you to where your heart just aches and cries or angry. And did they really do that to you? They did. They're guilty. And just like us, they really don't deserve to be forgiven, because they did it. But Jesus forgave us. He had mercy on us. He showed us grace. Now, there was a whole lot of sin there, but there was more grace. There's always more grace. So no matter what we do, where sin abounds, grace is always abounding more. than the sin. He forgives us, and we are to forgive them. And I know that forgiveness is hard. It really is, because, you know, you can pay money back, but a broken heart cannot be paid back. If somebody does something to you that really breaks your heart, and I mean they're guilty, they broke your heart, you can't forgive them. Saying they're sorry, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is does not get rid of the pain and the heartache that they have caused you. Nothing can repay that. Only God's grace. So because he has forgiven us, no matter what he has done or what they have done to us, he wants us to forgive. But it's hard to do. So I want to now go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 2. And I'm going to go with verse 21 and verse 23. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Now notice, in verse 21, Jesus is our example. And we're to follow that. And he forgave. He forgave. And we're to forgive. He is our example. And we're to forgive. And it doesn't matter, I mean, how hard they've hurt you, we're still to forgive. And when we forgive them, we set them free. You know what a big thing that is? To be set free. If you say bad things to me and it breaks my heart, and you come and tell me you're sorry, and I say, I forgive you. That's okay. It's done. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's all taken care of. You see what I'm saying? And as for me, I can rest in the fact that I've done what the Lord asked me to do. I followed his example. And that's all any of us can do. So I included that because we don't ever have someone do to us what they did to him. When they reviled him, he did not revile them back. Whatever they did to them, he did not return it. It says he committed himself to his heavenly Father. And that's what we have to do. And like I said, forgiving someone who has truly hurt you, it's a hard thing to do because we're human. How dare someone mistreat us like that? You see? How dare they? Okay, so go back to Matthew, and we'll go on here with this story. In verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay it all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now here we have a man and goes out, finds someone else in the very situation that he was in. In fact, this man doesn't owe half as much money as the other one did. And he won't forgive. He wouldn't forgive him. Instead, he punished him. He put him in prison. You see? He would not release him. He would not forgive him. And so the Lord isn't pleased when we do that because of what the Lord done for us. So he expects us at least to make the effort. Lord, help me to forgive that person. And you will feel better if you can do that. And on top of that, you will have pleased the Lord. You see? Now, I want to go as an example to John chapter 8. And I know all of you know this story, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to go part of it. But in John chapter 8, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7. This is the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and they wanted to stone her to death. And this is where Jesus intervenes. Now remember, this is an example. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at her." And when he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." Now, the first thing I want you to know is he was not condoning sin. Because the last word he said to her was, "Go and sin no more." But he had compassion on her. This was not a good moral person. She was guilty of everything that they accused her of doing. So by law, she deserved. And I think the law in the Jews was stoning by death. So she deserved that. She had earned that. But Jesus said, "I'm not condemning you." You see, those good moral men that wanted her to die, they wanted to punish her. And that's what we have in this world today. If you do me bad, I'm going to make you pay for it. One way or another, you're going to pay. You hurt me, and I am hurt to my core, and you can never, you telling me you're sorry is not going to take that away. And that is true. That is true. It won't take it away. But we're to forgive because Jesus forgave us. And what did that forgiveness mean? We could go to heaven. And we don't deserve it. This woman did not deserve this forgiveness because she was guilty. But God forgives. Jesus said, "I forgive you. Go and sin no more." You see, we want to punish the wrong. God wants to forgive us and loose us so that we can be free. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. We don't know what we've done for someone if we can bring ourselves to forgive them. And this woman, when she was forgiven, she knew she was guilty. She got up and Jesus said, "Where are those that condemn you?" She said, "No man. No man." He set her free. He set her free. Now it's her responsibility to go and sin no more. You see? So our forgiveness is 70 times 7. Not just until we feel we can't take it anymore. You see? God never gets to that place. And because he does, he wants us to do that. He wants us to do that. So these men, they wanted to punish her. She didn't deserve forgiveness. But he forgave her. He forgave her. Now, I just want to touch. I don't know if, you know, anyone's ever experienced this or not. But just let's say you can't, something happened to you and you just can't forgive them. You know, that makes your heart hard. That makes your heart hard. This Lord that was able to forgive this man of all that money, he had compassion. He had a soft heart. He felt compassion for her. And he knew if he forgave her, he sets him free. So I say forgiveness is a powerful, powerful thing, but it is a hard thing. It's a hard thing, especially if someone has really hurt you. And you carry that pain, let's say for years. If you don't forgive them, your heart gets harder. And then we sin. And then we sin. And then what happens? Then we go to our great high priest and we confess it and he forgives us. And it says he not only forgives us, but he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's what his forgiveness does for us. Now, we can't cleanse them from unrighteousness, but we can loose them and set them free so that they can live by forgiving them. Because they won't carry that weight that you don't like them or you hate them because they did this to you. You see what I'm trying to say? That forgives them. They're able to be set free and go on. So forgiveness is a powerful thing. Now I want to go for the last one to Romans chapter 12 or chapter 12. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to start at verse 19. Dearly beloved, so he is talking to Christians. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And look at verse 21. Be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. How do we overcome evil? Doing the good thing. How did Jesus overcome the devil on the cross? He did something good. Just that simple. If you be good to them, treat them with compassion, and forgive them, you will overcome the evil. If you don't do that, that evil overcomes you, and you get a hard heart that can't forgive. So we have a choice. And I wrote it like this. We can let evil overcome us, or we can overcome the bad by forgiving and be an overcomer and forgive them. And I just want to say this real quick, like, I wanted to give you a little testimony of my own. This is how I know forgiveness is hard. I did not have a good marriage. I wanted to go to church. He didn't want to go. He didn't want my kids going. And I insisted on taking them. So because of that, he was angry with me all the time. Never had a minute of peace. And it was very hard, because now that I'm getting older, I'm never going to have those things. Never. But I forgave him. I forgave him. And I have peace with that. So, that is it. I didn't want to have something real long.
To love one another and to pray for one another. If anyone has the need for that, let's open our Grace and Glories, and we're going to sing page 266. 266.
It's coming, yes, it's coming. Lord. Just open it up if anyone would like to come and we pray for you. Or if you'd like to come down and pray at the altar, just want to make that available for you. I know everyone's rushed to get here, but let's seize the time. Let's seize the moment to take and see what God has for us. So if you want prayer, come down. And if not, we'll go ahead and dismiss in prayer. But I want to make it available for anyone that would like to come. Here comes our sister Pat. We're going to pray for you, dear.
That can be a tough topic, can it not? Well, the Lord gave me, I'm not a speaker, but I want to start us off this way. So, actually, Holy Spirit does. The Lord gave me Joseph years ago. Penny knows this story. She knows how dear Joseph is to my heart. And Brother Gene has just started a series on Joseph, so I'm all excited about that. But my life is fairly parallel with Joseph and my family. There, years ago, I felt like I literally was thrown in a pit by my sisters and sold to Egypt. It hurt. I can just imagine what a 17-year-old boy is thinking as he's on a camel headed to a foreign land, and his family is left behind. And his family did this to him. And in the end, we get to the end of the story. He goes through an awful lot. We know about Potiphar and his wife. And he ends up in prison, forgotten about. And then he really starts using him with Pharaoh and the dreams and preparing Egypt for the famine. And then his brothers show up. He knew who they were. They didn't know him. And towards the end of this story, I saw this morning, the verses in chapter 45 of Genesis, verse 4 and 5. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. Is not Christ drawing us near? Amen. I pray you. And they came near. They were terrified of him. They didn't know who he was. And they're being accused of stealing. Poor Benjamin got the silver cup in his bag. And they're saying death to Benjamin. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. We have to forgive ourselves sometimes. You know, sometimes we do things and there's a lot of regret. And we do we ask for the forgiveness, but there is another side, forgiving ourselves. And he said, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Isn't that what Christ did for us? And he said, it was brought out last night by our dear sister. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we are to forgive as Christ forgave us. So I just want us to start with that thinking in mind this morning and preparing our hearts for whatever the Lord might have for us on this topic today. And that topic can just, it ranges over a lot of things that can come up in our life. And so I know whatever is going on in each of our lives, God will meet us there. He is faithful because he loves his people. So, okay, let's sing. Let's give him glory for what he has done. 199.